Today, President Trump kicked off a week of announcements about infrastructure, starting with a plan to privatize the nation's air traffic controllers.
Our plan will get you where you need to go more quickly, more reliably, more affordably. And yes, for the first time in a long time, on time, we will launch this air travel revolution by modernizing the outdated system of air traffic control. It's about time.
Trump has promised to kickstart the economy with a $1 trillion infrastructure program, but details remain scarce about how that might actually work. For more, we're joined by Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
So the president's budget proposal sets aside $200 billion for infrastructure over the next 10 years, and the rest of that trillion, $800 billion, would come from private investment. I asked President Obama's former Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, who was a former Republican member of Congress, about that approach, trying to leverage private investment through some public spending. Here's what he said.
I do think that public-private partnerships, the 3P program, is very, very important, particularly for the big projects. But in order to get to some of the other significant work that needs to be done in America on our roads, on our transit systems, with Amtrak, it will take increasing the gas tax. It will take infrastructure bank.
Derek, what do you think?
The big picture here is that the U.S. used to be the class of the world when it came to infrastructure and infrastructure spending. A long-storied history as a leader of highway construction, for example. Now we're closer to the bottom of the OECD, that list of advanced economies when it comes to public investment in infrastructure. And, you know, for a long time, people on the left, Democrats, have said, let's fix this. Let's spend more on roads and bridges and dams. But what's interesting is that Trump went even bigger than the Democrats. His infrastructure policy during the campaign was $1 trillion compared to $275 billion for Hillary Clinton. So he's the infrastructure guy here. But now that he's president and the White House has to deal with the fact that Republicans don't really want to raise revenue or spend more money, he has to take that $1 trillion promise and say, oh, no, actually, it's $200 billion of public spending plus $800 billion of private spending that's induced by the government. You know, it's possible that you can have a successful relationship like this, but the promise itself has clearly changed.
Well, what about that idea of trying to attract private investment? Does that work? Is a private organization or a company going to be willing to take on the risk involved in a dam or a railroad or even a highway and put up the money?
I think LaHood put it perfectly when he said that there are some projects for which a triple P, a public-private partnership, could be extremely appropriate. They tried it for buildings. They've tried it for parks. They've tried it even for bridges throughout the country. But there are other projects that simply won't work because you don't necessarily have the guarantee of long-term profits which are required for a private enterprise to want to get into the business of funding that. So, for example, with rail transportation, with Amtrak. Amtrak loses money basically all over the country. It makes a lot of money in the Northeast Corridor, where you and I both live. But for the rest of the country, it basically loses money. No rail company is going to want to build rails, understanding that it's going to lose money over many decades. And so in those places, you're going to need more public investment, and you can't get so clever about incentivizing the private sector to do so.
Well, one of the things that Trump has said he wants to do to incentivize the private sector to invest in infrastructure is to cut red tape. Gary Cohn, the president's chief economic advisor, has said he'd like to shorten the permitting process for new highways from 10 years to 2 or less. Would that make a difference?
It could make a little bit of a difference. Yeah, sure. I mean, there are definitely regulatory issues with the high cost American infrastructure. And it is rather remarkable. I was just doing a lot of reading on this over the past week, sort of anticipating that this infrastructure policy would potentially be in the news this week. U.S. infrastructure costs way more than it does in Europe or Japan. For some reason, and experts haven't really quite figured it out, it just costs a lot more to lay rails or build roads. You know, maybe it's the relative cost of wages with unions in America. Maybe it's the regulatory environment. Maybe it's other factors. But for some reason, the cost of actually building infrastructure in the U.S. is incredibly high, and we should get to the bottom of why exactly that is.
What is the biggest unanswered question for you about the president's infrastructure program at this point?
That's a great question. The biggest unanswered question for me is whether this White House can follow through on any domestic policy that it dips its toe into. They said that they were all on board with Obamacare repeal, and then it seemed as if the president couldn't explain any of the details of that policy. He then said that he was getting ready to go sort of, you know, fully onto tax reform, right. And then they came out with their tax reform policy, and it was just like 100 words on a single page. So I'm looking forward to this administration really jumping into a public policy where it says we care about this and we're going to spend a long time trying to push this through Congress.
That's Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, looking for details from the president. Derek, thanks.
Thank you.